Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. We've had such an anointing service already.
Amen.
It is important that we know Jesus. It is important that we know who he is and what he did. And it's important that we know him as our Lord and Savior. And that we walk with him and that we talk with him. We live in a world filled with darkness. But Jesus Christ is our light. Amen.
Amen.
The evil of the world has been made visible in a way no other time in my life. The evil of the world. It has been made abundantly clear, particularly over the last several months. I had an experience at a restaurant that prompted me to preach an hour and a half, I believe. Might have been longer. On innocence lost earlier this year. And evil has befallen members of this congregation that has been exposed. Our nation is so fundamentally divided, and that's by design, by the enemies. Design. They want you to hate your neighbor. But Jesus says, no, love your neighbor. When the agents of the enemy, when the world comes to you, what should we do but say, let me tell you about my Jesus? When a friend, a family member, a co-worker is broken, the weight of the world is falling upon their shoulders. What should we do? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Before we bow our heads in prayer, let us turn in our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 1 through 8. I charge thee, therefore, before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove. Rebuke. Exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today in praise and thanksgiving for your many, many blessings. Lord, we pray for deliverance. We pray for healing. We pray for salvation. We pray for ourselves, our family, our congregation, our community, our nation, and the whole world. We pray that you use each and every one of us as your instrument. Lord, we pray that you reveal unto us your will, place in our heart a desire to pursue it. Use each and every one of us from this day till our last. We pray for your spirit to pour out upon us all, and that a mighty work be done here today and every day. We pray all this in the blessed name of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we are saved. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. In this second letter to Timothy, Paul is encouraging Timothy through his own example to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season, is to say always. Tells him what to preach, to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort. With long suffering, that is, with patience, and with doctrine, with sound doctrine. To do so with love. He warns of a time when the church would not, he says, endure sound doctrine. A time such as that has come here. So many churches have sadly compromised the gospel for the sake of filling pews. They'll preach on the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, but they will not condemn sin. And they are not preaching the Jesus of the Bible. He says to do the work of an evangelist. He then finishes with, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He knows that his time has drawn near. His life will soon end, Paul is saying. But great is his reward that he knows is his in the hereafter. And not just his, he says, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So let me tell you about my Jesus. Let us go to the Gospel of John. First chapter, verses 1 through 5. So who is Jesus? John chapter 1, 1 through 5, John makes this pretty clear. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Earlier this year, I had a visit while I was in the backyard with my dogs. A husband and wife, these were Jehovah Witnesses, come to share with me the gospel. And I talked to them a bit. They didn't seem to understand the fullness of the Godhead and who Christ is. I tell you, they have another Jesus. They were trying to explain to me that Jesus was the first of God's creation, and I said, no. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the great I Am. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The hypostatic union, Jesus is 100% God and 100% man.
Amen.
In verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What does that mean to be full of grace and truth? Because sometimes we can overlook that. Sometimes the smallest bit we find in Scripture has some of the deepest meaning. Only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The fullness of God's grace, his love and his mercy. The fullness of God's truth, that's his justice. That's his judgment. The condemnation of sin. The truth is the condemnation of our sin, and the grace is the path made way unto salvation through Jesus Christ. So who is Jesus but God the Son? God manifest in the flesh, the only begotten Son of God. Further in chapter 1, here in verse 29 through 34. John the Baptist had been brought into this world in the spirit of Elijah to pave the way for the coming of Christ. Verse 29 reads, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, after he cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Let me tell you about my Jesus. The Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God which was slain. Jesus, the coming of Christ, the coming of Jesus was more than just some good teaching. He wasn't just a wise man, a wise teacher, a devoted and pious rabbi. Jesus was and is and always will be the only begotten Son of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The only begotten Son of God. So when somebody says to you, what's this, all this Jesus talk? I hear from you, you can say, well, let me tell you about my Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. In chapter 5, verses 2 through 9. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. He was passed over because he was alone. He was passed over because there was no one there to help him. But Jesus is saying, you don't need the pool. You need me. You don't need the water. I am the living water. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. Let me tell you about my Jesus. When you cross paths with someone who is broken, someone whose body has fallen apart, someone who's been overcome now by sickness and illness, you can say, let me tell you about my Jesus, the Jesus who heals, our healer, our deliverer.
Amen. Amen.
By his stripes we are healed. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me tell you about my Jesus. We read further in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 38 to 44. Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus' response to her is, Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Woman, you have no faith. All the miracles that had been seen unto this point, yet she doubted. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave cloths, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. This story here, Christ raising a dead man unto life. Know that Jesus Christ has power unto death. He has power to raise dead men unto life. This story foreshadows his own death and resurrection.
Amen.
Let me tell you about my Jesus. When you come across a man or a woman or a child who has been so hurt, so traumatized that they are mentally dead, emotionally dead, spiritually dead, you can say, let me tell you about my Jesus, who has the power to bring dead men into life, who can make you whole and deliver you from your pain. Let me tell you about my Jesus. We turn now further in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. All truth is God's truth. All life is God's life. And all of God's truth and all of God's life was personified in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is the exclusivity of Christ. There is no other way in which we may be saved. No other name but the blessed name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you come across a man, a woman, a child who has been bound tight in the bondage of their sin, you can say, let me tell you about my Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto God but by him. Jesus has the power to save you from the bondage of your sin.
Amen. Amen.
They might say, well, how is this? How does Jesus, who lived 2,000 years ago, how can he save me from my sin? We turn further in the Gospel of John. We turn to the Word. What do? We constantly turn to the Word. Why? Jesus showed us the example when he was tempted in the desert. In his response, and every response was, it is written. We turn to the Word of God in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 28, 29, and 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. For God so loved the world. Here, Christ had been arrested. He had been beaten, mocked, and scourged, tried and convicted, nailed to a cross. The wrath of God meant for you and me was poured out upon him that day on the cross to pay the debt that you and I could never repay. You and I could never, with our works, earn our way into heaven.
Amen.
We can never justify ourselves. It is only, we are saved only by grace.
Amen.
Through faith in Jesus Christ alone. So let me tell you about my Jesus, who paid the penalty of your sin on the cross. But the story doesn't end there. You see, a simple man, any man who was to die on the cross, has no power to save even himself. But you know, Jesus died that day on the cross, but he didn't stay dead, did he?
No.
Oh, no. Oh, no, he didn't. Here again in the next chapter, chapter 20, verses 11, 18, we read, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because thou hast taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposed him to be the gardener. Saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, say, if thou have taken him away, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus, the Son of God, who died on the cross and has now rose again and ascended unto heaven. He sits at the right hand of God, who will come again to judge the living and the dead. His righteous judgment. Amen. And to all those who believe, your sins washed away and forgotten, where you will be clothed. We are clothed with the holiness and righteousness of Christ.
Amen.
So that on that day of judgment, we will be found holy and righteous by his holiness and his righteousness. The wages of our sin is death. Salvation is a gift freely offered and given to all who would believe. So let me tell you about my Jesus, the risen Lord. So many today are looking for solutions to the problems of this world, and they're all looking in the wrong place. They might say, there is a political solution. Let the demon now, I'm preaching. They might say there's a political solution. There is not. They might say there's a cultural solution. Listen to me, I'm preaching. There is no cultural solution. No political, no cultural. There is nothing that we can do. There is one solution, and that solution is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We as a church, we as a community, we as a nation need to turn back to God. We need to repent of our sins and become once more a nation. Turn to God. Dedicated to God, in service to God.
Amen.
Jesus and only Jesus is a solution to a fallen world. Turn. Oh, we got more scripture coming. In the Gospel of Matthew. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Amen.
The power in these words. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Jesus shares in the eternal nature of his Father, God the Father. He is omnipotent, that is all powerful. He is omniscient. That is to say, he is all knowing. Omnipresent, he is everywhere at all times. He shares in the divine nature of God the Father. We can go back to that scripture. Here is the Great Commission, that we would all go and say, let me tell you about my Jesus. Share the gospel with all that you meet, but not just with your words, but with everything that you do. Do all that you do unto God, to the glory of God. Each and every one of us are called to ministry in some capacity. Maybe it is to pray for one another. Maybe it is to preach. Maybe it is to teach. Maybe it's as a missionary. Maybe it's to provide comfort to those who are hurting. To provide outreach to those who are suffering. It might be as simple as a works ministry to help the church and to help the community. Your calling to ministry might be to stand on the corner across the river on the devil's side in Louisville and proclaim the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
We are all called to tell the world, let me tell you about my Jesus. There was other scriptures we had.
Yeah, we got two more here. Are you ready for that
one? We go to Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 26. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by what? By faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all in need of God's mercy and his grace. All of us, for we have all sinned. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be what? A propitiation. What does propitiation mean? It is the aversion of the wrath of God, of which we deserve. To be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. There is nothing you and I can do. It is completely and totally by the mercy and grace of God.
Amen.
So let me tell you about my Jesus. There is a tendency to lean, whether it's pastors or congregations, churches, to lean either a little too much towards the judgment of God, the truth, or to lean a little bit too much towards the love of God. We must, as a congregation, in families, individual believers, and as pastors, Pastor Dallas and I both, we must preach 100% of God's truth and 100% of God's grace.
Amen.
And this is made so eloquently clear in John chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17 is clear, and so often, sadly, overlooked. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
So when someone asks you, who is Jesus? Tell me about this Jesus. Oh, I'm about to tell you about my Jesus. Jesus is the Lamb of God who was slain. He is the eternal God, 100% God and 100% man. He is God the deliverer. He is God the healer. He is God my Savior. Hallelujah. So let us all, this day and every day, with every opportunity we have, to say, let me tell you about my Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.